Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Imperfect Brilliance. I am your host, Betsy McLaughlin, and today I have an extra special guest with me. So first of all, I would love to welcome and greet and give a big air hug to my guest, Miss Emily Russell. So welcome, Emily.
Betsy, thank you for having me.
Now, Emily and I have the amazing pleasure of working quite closely with Emily. And she's just an amazing, amazing person that I'm so blessed and honored to work with and create with and collaborate with. And Emily just got a new title, which I love. She's the worldwide kitten herder for excess consciousness, which I love. And it's just such a fun name. So congratulations on that and everything that you create with Access Consciousness. It's really such a pleasure to see everything that, you know, we've talked about and that we have awarenesses of, to actually put it all into creation and then seeing what comes from it is so far beyond even, I think, what we're aware of. And so what we're going to actually be talking a lot today is about following the energy to create your life. And, you know, as I was reading the information that Emily sent me about, you know, her and her journey, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, that is so much of what we do is following the energy. So I'm really looking forward to talking today about how do you do that and create the life that you desire to live? So Emily, as I said, she is the worldwide kitten herder for Access Consciousness, and she does business development, and she works, you know, with worldwide coordinator, and she works very closely with Dr. Dane here and Simone Millicis and Gary Douglas and Brendan Watt and, you know, all the different departments to help the huge organism that is the business of Access Consciousness. And so if you guys aren't familiar with that, you can go to accessconsciousness.com. And there's so many different things that are possibilities with Access. So Emily is also a certified facilitator, so she also, when she's not busy traveling the world, literally going to classes, contributing to them, helping create them, design new ideas, she also does facilitate as well. So she's a very busy lady, and she's also a mom of two amazing girls. So she's got a very full, full life. And, and somehow she does it all and keeps saying yes to more.
And you are a big reason why all of that works. We work together so well. You know, and one of the things, I'm so grateful for you. I mean, all the projects we get to work on with Access Consciousness. But, you know, no matter what you do in your life, a lot of people feel like, I mean, I was definitely one of them, felt like I had to do everything on my own. And when I was doing that, I was still adding things to my life and trying, but I was stressed out and, you know, would kind of be like, oh, I'm working so hard, so it must be great. Or, you know, and stressed all the time and wanting people to know how stressed and busy I was. And then I started to allow more contribution in my life in lots of ways, you know, and people in my life like you are a great example of, you know, people that are grateful for you, that are fun to create with, that make everything easier. And you have been that gift to me. And that has been a, you know, a lesson in really receiving. And it's something I didn't notice, you know, because we've had such an ease creating together since we met. And I've had a couple of people say, wow, it's really cool to see how you and Betsy work together, because I've had a few people say they've tried to get people to work with and to be like assistant, for lack of a better word, but work together, and they haven't been able to find someone or have that ease. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize it's actually, it's not as easy for everybody to do. And so that's a credit to you and to me and what we're both willing to create together and receive from each other. So I'm grateful for that too.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. And, you know, that is part of, one of the things as we were, you know, chatting about what we wanted to talk about today. And I thought, you know, the receiving part actually would be a component in, you know, following that energy. And it doesn't always make sense, right? So you're like, well, if you're not busy and working hard, how in the world could you create everything that you want to create in this life? And it's so against, even for me, like what I was taught and what I was raised to believe, that you know, to be self-sufficient, you're supposed to do it all yourself. You're not supposed to ask for help. You're just supposed to know and just do it. And so in following the energy of creating your life and actually being willing to ask for help, to know that is okay, and in no way is that a weakness, is one of the things that I've learned just even this last year or so, to a whole different level of, you know, like, what if working with someone and asking someone else to contribute to you actually makes the project that you're working on explode instead of thinking that you have to do it all yourself?
Yeah. And when you say that, I mean, for me, a big piece of that too was giving up control. So when you follow the energy, it's like, and we can talk a little about what that is, to follow the energy, create, you know, but a lot of us have an idea of, okay, I'd like to do this. Like, maybe it's a new job, or like, I have a friend right now who really does not like her current job. She's in corporate America. She doesn't do access really, and energy she's kind of familiar with it, but not really. And the idea, I've been trying to explain to her, okay, if you're not happy with this and you really hate it, there is some other choice available. And rather than trying to figure out with our heads, following the energy is more about getting the ideas of, okay, if you didn't have to pick the exact job, or the exact relationship or you know, whatever that is, what energy is, what would you like to have be like? So with work, I've always been something like, I'd love to work with people where it's easy, where I'm grateful for them, where they're grateful for me, where they see me as me, you know, don't make me wrong. I don't make them wrong, you know, that sort of thing. And those are energies. They're not super specific, but they're for me, certain things that, you know, I ask for. So it's like, when you're listening to this, it's like following the energy is getting those senses, those energies that you enjoy having around you, that make you happy, that make you feel like you.
Yeah.
And then choosing things based on, they match that energy, or they create that energy, or you're like, oh, when I look at that choice, it feels like that. So I'm going to say yes to it, even if it seems crazy, even if it seems out of control, even if it seems like nothing I would normally choose, or nothing like a job I wouldn't, or a person I wouldn't talk to, or a job I wouldn't take. It's like following the energy is, you have to kind of let go of your mind a bit and go on energy.
That's a huge part of it, you know, really letting go of your mind, and that whole control piece is key to it. Because if you think that you have to control every aspect of it, again, it has that, the energy of, like, keeping it smaller than it really desires to be. And so when you follow the energy, and like you said, it doesn't, a lot of times it doesn't even make sense. You know, you could be like, how could I possibly add anything else to my, you know, like for you, you've got a very full plate. You're always traveling, you know, going here, coming back, juggling, you know, your two girls, school, all of these things. And you don't say, you don't not say yes to things because of that. You know, you're following the energy. If it's something that's light and joyful and will contribute to your life, you say yes, and then the pieces fall into place.
So true. And how many of us don't say yes to other things? I mean, I had definitely bought the idea, you know, there's so much in media and things like that say simplify your life and pare down, and there, you know, for some people that works. For me, I've found that the more I add, the happier I am, and actually the more easily things get done, whether it's like spending time with my kids or, you know, it, the more I add, the more I enjoy everything, and I'm really present when I'm doing the thing that I'm doing, even if I skip around to like 20 things a day. For me, that works. And that's like, you have to ask yourself and really be honest with yourself of what does work for me? What energies, you know, do I enjoy? What would I like to add to my life? Because there's always things you can add. And for a lot of us, we actually like having more on our plate than other people would think we could handle.
Yes. Well, and I love that. I think I love this conversation because it really is so different from what I thought, you know, my life was going to be like. And I've had many people say to me, like, how do you do what you do? Or, you know, you work so much, or you do this or that. And to me, I'm having so much fun. It's not this tedious thing where like, oh my God, you know, I'm working so many hours in a day. I love it. And so when you're enjoying what you do, it doesn't have that same connotation. I've been in jobs where it's been like, you know, waking up in the morning and going, oh, when was the last time I called in sick? I just can't do this, you know, or something like that, where this is so different, you know. So in being happy and being joyful in what you do, it's such a different place to live your life from.
Yeah. And it's funny because I wouldn't have even said, I've always been a pretty happy person, but if I look back to, you know, 6-7 years ago, when my girls were really young, and I didn't have a lot of outlets for like creativity. You know, I was, at the time I wasn't working, and I was staying at home with my two daughters, and anything I could do to create, I mean, I was making huge elaborate meals, which was fun for me because I had time on my hands, you know, and reading books and writing and reading novels all the time and kids and parenting books. And, but I wasn't truly happy because there wasn't enough going on, you know, and I look back at that and I was trying so hard to find something. And I, at that time, was reading all these books about, you know, finding your life's purpose and, and all these things and what's your dharma. And cause I was a yoga teacher and all this. And I was making myself so wrong because I couldn't find what was supposedly supposed to be this one magical thing that was going to be my life's work, or, you know, and other people could figure it out. And I never could. I always liked to do a bunch of things and never could settle on one. And I thought, therefore, I was wrong. And I wasn't creating the life that I should be because it wasn't like focused enough. And that, God, when I remember one of the very first tools I heard, I think it was like a radio show like this, listening to someone talk about excess consciousness. And they said, what if instead of being the phrase of a jack of all trades and a master of none, which has a lot of wrongness in it. I was like, oh God, I can do that, but I haven't mastered anything. I don't know my life's purpose. And then said this person said with access to it, they said, what if you're a master of all trades and a jack of none? And I was like,
I love that.
So what if I loved it? And it, because I was so focused on the other one, it was like a 180 perspective shift. And I thought, wow, that to me is so much lighter which a basic tool of access, what's light for you, like what's true is light for you. It lightens you up. And when I heard that, that to me, I came out of the wrongness and thought, okay, what if it's okay that I like doing and I'm interested in a bunch of different things and I don't have to pare things down. I don't have to totally focus on one. Mm-hmm. And then that for that question of what can I add to my life and you go on energy starts to create something very different. And like you said, people who say to you, how could you work so much? This couldn't be fun. It's like that might not be, you know, that's a lot of people's points of view. But if you don't buy into that projection that, you know, you can't add more things or it wouldn't be more fun, then you might find what's actually true for you creating your life.
You know, and that's such a good point. You know, like what is true for you might not be true for anybody else. And how much of your life, Emily, did you spend trying to fit somebody else's mold?
So much. And I didn't even realize it, though. I don't think I realized it so much. It just seemed like I was kind of doing the good thing or the right thing. I was enough outside of mainstream, whatever that meant. You know, I maybe parented a little bit differently, or I breastfed my children longer than most people did, or I fed, you know, different foods, and that was weird enough for me. You know, I felt like I was kind of already outside of the box. And gosh, when you really start looking at, no, actually, what would really make me happy? It was none of that stuff. That was trying to figure out how to be a good mom, a good wife, a good friend without ever. And now I'm a much better mom. I'm happily divorced and greater friendships than I've ever had before. But those came from really looking at what was true for me.
Wow. You know, and so it's what is true for you might not be true for anyone else. What a great place to take our first break. You guys, we're listening to today our conversation with Emily Russell. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned for more Juicy.
Thanks, Becky.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here today with Emily Russell, and we are talking about following the energy to create your life. So, Emily, if somebody had told you 5 years ago that you would be the worldwide kitten herder for Access Consciousness and traveling the world attending classes and contributing to the business the way you are, what would you have said to them?
Wow, I would have thought they were kind of crazy, but at the same time, I actually, when I very first started out, I was a yoga teacher, and then I came across Access Bars, which at a time in my life, it was right after my second daughter was born, and I was going through postpartum depression. I mean, I couldn't, like, I didn't even want to name her after she was born. We had kind of a traumatic birth, and it didn't turn out right the way I had planned it, you know, perfectly controlled and exactly how I wanted it. So because it didn't happen, I was convinced I was the worst mom ever. I really thought I had ruined her life because, like, I didn't get to hold her right after she was born. It wasn't a natural birth. I mean, I had so many points of view, all of which set me up to be wrong. And to really think, I really thought I had hurt her. I remember holding her and just crying and saying, I'm sorry. Like, I thought I had messed her up forever. And I couldn't get happy. I was doing yoga. I was meditating every day, and I just couldn't come to peace with it. And she started having all sorts of rashes and weird things with her body, and I was asking everybody all sorts of different things. And I ended up getting the name of a woman who I thought I was going to for a colonic, because someone said, oh, it must be that your breast milk is bad. Like, so, you know, so of course there's more wrongness. So I would go to her, and she had this little sign in her office. It was a head chart of Access Bars, which is the first class, the first tool in Access Consciousness. And my whole body just looked at that, and I was like, what is that? And she said, oh, it's just the thing that gets you out of the way of you. You know, I do sessions in it, or I'm having a class in a week, and then you actually, after one class, you learn how to be a practitioner of it, this like modality of sorts, or, you know, a body practice, and they'll be trained every week, so then you can get your bars run all the time. And I had no idea what that was, but I said, wow, whatever that is, okay, that feels really light. And I left that appointment and looked online a little bit about Access Consciousness. I remember finding a couple videos. I thought it all seemed a little weird. I was watching a video of the two founders, Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane here, and I was like, who are these two guys from California? Like, this hasn't been around as long as yoga has. But I absolutely wanted to choose it, and I was so willing at that place to try anything that would get me, I mean, it was a great description, get you out of the way of you. And I was like, okay. So I ended up going to a class, and in the class, you learn how to run Access Bars, this body process. And I had never done anything like that before. I wasn't, you know, I hadn't done a bunch of modalities. I never considered myself someone who could understand energy or do any sort of energy work. I always went to other people for that. And here I am, like, trading with my partner in the class. The first part of the day was a college student who also had never run bars. And I laid on the table, and he gave me a session of Access Bars. And I sat up off the table. I remember going to the bathroom and looking in the mirror and seeing in my eyes a clarity and a happiness that I had never seen in my life before. And I had this peace and relaxation, like I had meditated for, I don't know, a whole day or something, even though I'd never done that. And I thought that was the easiest, most peaceful thing I have ever experienced. And during the class, you learn something called the clearing statement, which I'm sure on your show you talk about sometimes. It's like the magic wand of access. Yep. And they talk about, okay, if you have something that is kind of sticking you in your life, or this energy that just, and that was the birth for me of my daughter. You know, I'd go by the hospital and I would either cry or be so angry. And so I heard about this clearing statement thing in class. And again, this is kind of following the energy. It didn't make sense to me. It did not. Right. I remember thinking it sounded crazy, but there was this energy there of lightness. It made me happier. I was curious. And I went into this thinking, okay, whatever I could add, like any tools to my toolbox to make things greater, because my yoga wasn't working, my meditation wasn't working, I have this, you know, other beautiful older daughter, nothing was making me happy. So I was like, okay, I will try it. So I remember feeling great after that bar slash just from the sessions, and then driving by the hospital where I had the birth of my daughter, and getting that energy, like wanting to cry. And I said, okay, I'll try this crazy thing called the clearing statement out. And so all I did was say, okay, everything this brings up for me, that's all you have to do. Like, that energy, I have no idea what it is, but everything this brings up for me, I destroy and uncreate it. And then the series theme is Right, Wrong, Good, Bad, Pot, Pot, Online, Shorts, Boys, and Beyonds. And I said that maybe, I don't know, 3-4 times in the car driving by the hospital. And all of the charge and the upset and the anger that I had been living with and not been able to get rid of for 6 months, like, was gone.
Wow.
It wasn't that the incident was gone, but so that to me was the first time I was like, that is an energy that I hadn't found change like that before. So I kept, that was the beginning of following the energy. I was like, okay, whatever this is, I remember calling up a woman I met in that class and saying, can we trade bars every week? Because I don't know what this is, but it's changing something. And she said, yeah, I'll do it every week with you. And I was like, awesome. And it was the beginning of following something that made no sense to my logical mind, but started the path of, you know, you asked me, could you have imagined this? And I, at that time, couldn't have. But in some way, I think I knew there was more. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't know, but I knew that there was more that I wanted to create. And it was the beginning of following it based on energy, not based on my conclusions of what I thought I had to do or what would make me happy.
What a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And, you know, because it really is like, you know, I kind of stumbled onto finding access as well, you know, very similar, you know, very unhappy in my life. And just there was something that drew me to it. So, you know, it's like innately we do know and we will follow the energy. And, you know, it's just not something that I was ever, you know, told about or talked about, like following your energy or knowing that you actually do know already, and to give yourself permission to actually empower you to know that you are, you do know, and you do have this, and you can do whatever it is that you choose to do in this life. And so these conversations that we have on shows like, you know, on my show and other people's radio shows and in classes and everything else is so much about this conversation of you're not wrong. You know, and so you spent how much time beating yourself up and deciding you were the worst mother ever, and, you know, that it was all your fault, and you know, then to find something, what a gift that, you know, you actually did find something that, that worked for you and that created something so different in your life. And so, you know, you fast forward to 5 years later, you're happier than you've ever been. You know, you've got a very rich, very full life that continues to bloom and blossom and expand. And you're always asking that question. You're like, yes, yes, what else, what else, what else? And so for people listening who might be in a place where they're like, well, that sounds really good for you, but how in the world do I make it work for me? You know, what questions or tools could you suggest for them?
I would say, first of all, like, don't feel like you have to leave everything you have going on to find, you know, something better. Because so many of us think, okay, I'm not happy, so I need to give everything I'm doing now and find the right thing. And so I would say, don't throw out at whatever you're doing now or creating, you know, all of it. One of the other things I remember hearing, you know, I think something like that on a radio show or access class, was that, what if everything you've ever done in your life, every little job, every interaction you've had with people, every skill you've worked on, whether it's cooking or driving a car or, you know, waitressing, which I waitressed for years when I was younger. And what if all of those things contribute and are actually like a hint or an indicator of the things that you enjoy and are great at, and you could use them all. And it takes you a while to really, you know, to really get that. But the more I see, like, what I'm doing now, like you mentioned my funny title of the worldwide kitten herder, but we joke in Access that, like, you can't herd kittens, right? It's not like a dog that comes to you and you're like, hey, come here. Like, cats, kittens do their own thing, right? And to herd them is its own, you know, own skill that I didn't realize. You know, I walked, when we were talking about this title, we were in Costa Rica at a class, and I came in talking, and was Gary was there, who's been the founder of Access, and Simone, now business coordinator, worldwide coordinator of Access. And they were saying, we have a new title for you. We think it's perfect because no one else in the world can really do this. but you're great at it. And the way you connect and talk with people. And I had, and when I look at that, and I look at all the past things I've done, I used to be a high school teacher. I used to teach biology and loved it. Also, this is a good example. I also knew there was something else possible. So I loved it. I loved having kids come back from college and see me come back to the high school and be like, oh my God, I majored in biology because of you. I'm so happy I'm doing this. And, you know, write their essays about having me as a teacher. And it was a great, I felt like I was making a difference. Like, here are these kids. And it wasn't enough. There was this strange feeling of like, I wanted to do more, which when I would say that to people, they'd be like, what are you talking about? You have a great job. You get to, you know, work with all these amazing kids. I worked in like an international baccalaureate program with just brilliant kids. So different, so smart, so fun to work with. And I still was, I wasn't happy. And that also what I would say as a tool is, what if you're, like, dissatisfaction wasn't wrong? What if that is an indicator of you do want more and it's okay? Be great. Yeah. And I was grateful for my job. I was grateful for the people I work with. But if that dissatisfaction or that inkling of, I want to do something else, if you didn't make that wrong, what if you looked at that as an indication, as a hint of, oh, wow, maybe I do want more. Maybe there is more possible. Because if you have that in your world, I promise there's something more. That's your awareness coming up. And it often just looks like frustration or dissatisfaction, but it's because you actually know there's more you want to create. Hmm. And then it's that following the energy where you start to get there, but you have to be willing to, you know, change things. Like, I had to be willing to leave that job. I had to be willing, you know, for other things to show up. So yeah, you have to be willing to leave things along the way. So that willingness to let anything go or anyone go, not that they have to, and have the openness to receive anyone and anything coming into your life, even if it's really different.
So true. You know, and following that trajectory of wherever it goes, and, you know that it's going to be a winding road, most probably. It's not going to be a straight line. But that example you give us is just a perfect example of, if you didn't make yourself wrong, like if you're in anything that you're doing right now, whether it's a job or a relationship or where you live or anything, or you have an inkling of frustration, what if you didn't make it wrong? And that's such a great question to ask. So if you didn't make it wrong, what else would be possible here? So if you're frustrated with yourself or your partner or your house or whatever it is going on, what other questions could you ask and maybe change that from a wrongness? And what are you aware of here?
Yeah. And this is a basic question.
Yeah.
But when you said that, like, the really basic question of, what's right about this or what's right about me that I'm not getting? It's so simple. And it actually opens up your awareness to something really different. We're so focused on judging ourselves and using that judgment to create, but it's not actually judgment that creates. It creates something. I mean, you might change some things, but you make yourself wrong along the way. And then you can't really expand into something a lot bigger when you're doing that.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so much of what's wrong with me, what's wrong with this, what's wrong with my job, what's wrong with my boss, what's wrong with my partner. You know, that's where I used to live. And, you know, so now I don't ask those questions anymore. Or if I find myself starting to go there, I do ask those questions. Oh, wait, what is right about this I'm not getting? And that will get me out of anywhere where I'm perceiving that I'm frustrated or, you know, angry or whatever. It's like, oh, what is right about this? And that just kind of stops me from going down the path of everything's wrong, I'm terrible, this is awful, you know, and it stops me in my tracks of going down that, that for me, no-win situation. The wrongness of me, which is, I think, where a lot of people tend to go, is the wrongness either of themselves or others. And so what if nothing that you do is wrong? Nothing. And so what if you do make a mistake? Is that wrong? Is that bad? Or is it simply a mistake?
Yep. And that, you know, one of my favorite things I've heard Gary Douglas say is the second he realized that judgment was this deep, dark hole, like you're talking about, that doesn't go anywhere, whether it's mm-hmm. any other people, he just chose, he's like, I'm not doing that anymore. Done. And it really is a choice. And for me, it's been something I still really have to practice, especially with myself too, making myself wrong. But if you do, it's just that thing of stop, I'm not going there, like you said, you've been doing. And you start to just go, no, there's a question I can ask instead of doing that judgment of myself, of making me wrong, making other people wrong. And when you then mm-hmm. switch that to a question, it's the beginning of something. It seems simple, and it is, goodness, it is a 180 perspective change on how to live your life.
It really is. And, you know, we're always looking, we think that it's got to be hard, it's got to be complicated, it's got to be, and one of the gifts and the joys for me of the wonderful tools of access and using them for six or seven years now is the ease with what it is. And it really is simple. And it's like, really, can it be this simple and work so dynamically? And for me, the answer is a huge, resounding heck yes.
And
so
me too, thank goodness.
Right? So what if it didn't have to be hard? I mean, I spent most of my life trying, you know, working hard and proving hard, and it's got to be hard. And so then this is something so dynamically different. And it really does kind of have you do a double take and say, wait a minute, could it really be this simple? We had a second break, you guys. We'll be back shortly. Thank you so much for listening to Imperfect Grand. Thank you.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance. I'm here with my wonderful co-host today, Miss Emily Russell. And thank you so much for taking time before you're traveling again to be with us today. We're so grateful.
Oh, my pleasure. So much fun.
It really is. And one of the things before we dive down, because this time is really flying by for me, is if anybody's looking to connect with Emily, would you mind telling people how they can find you?
Yeah, you could. My website is Emily Evans Russell, and Russell has two S's and two L's .com. Or if you go to the Access Consciousness website, You can search for facilitators and enter my name and find my upcoming classes and things I have going on there too. But you can email me through my website or social media, of course, as well.
Wonderful. Yeah. And Emily is very active in social media, so it's easy to find her. And if you guys, for some reason, can't find her, you can always email me at accessbetsy@gmail.com. And my website is creatingyumminess.com. And you can find both of us, as Emily said, on the Access Consciousness website as well. And so one of the things that I was reading about is, you know, the conversations. Part of Emily's bio, she says, what if the conversations were some of the most relevant and engaging conversations out there, and talking about these tools and empowering people? And what else is possible for all of us who've known something else is possible but haven't known how to get there? And that question, I was like, oh, my God, that is so, for me, that was so true. There was, for a long time when I was unhappy and I was searched, I didn't know. I knew that there was something, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to get there. And it was quite a stumbling and a journey for me to find what I was looking for. And so how many people out there know that something else is possible but don't know the questions to ask? So this is one of the reasons that we have these conversations, so that we can contribute to people to say, hey, we've been there, you know, like our lives were not what we desired them to be. And both of us were in a constant state of creation and always asking, you know, what else, what more, how better, and you know, what else is possible. And so much of that is from the conversation we're having today, of following the energy to create your life.
Yeah. And there's always more.
There is. There really is always more. And it's not a wrongness. I would love to bring that into the conversation as well. Of, you know, when I was growing up, I was made wrong if I wanted more. You know, don't ask for anymore. Don't ask. So what for you, like having, you know, young girls that are growing up in the world we live in now, what are you showing them and teaching them about receiving and asking for more and not being in the wrongness of themselves?
Oh, that's such a great question. I just was talking with someone the other day and about parenting, and they said, you're the antidote to all of the other craziness going on in their life for people. In their worlds, or friends that aren't kind, or people that, you know, stuff that happens with kids. And for a long time, I thought I had to, you know, parent them in a certain way. And the more I realized, it's just really being me and showing them that example. So they have choice. They might, you know, they're very different. My two daughters are very different. And what has also helped me with the access tools is seeing, I'm grateful for them and see them in a way beyond like, you're my daughter. Like I really see the brilliance and the being in each of them, and none of it's wrong. You know, when one gets cranky or one has this thing that, you know, all kids have things that they do, you know, and I just am okay. That's who they are. And they can, you know, I talk to them about choices. Like mm-hmm. if you act this way or you talk this way to your friends, you know, what does that create? Is that what you want to create with that in your life? What do you want it to be like? And, you know, they're little, they're 7 and 9, and they get those little simple questions. I don't sit down and try to have big, you know, lifelong conversations with them at this point. Their attention span's a little shorter, but we have those all the time, you know, things about questions, and they're like, okay, I'm done. And then they'll run off, you know? And it's just sort of constantly in their world. I don't, mm-hmm. you know, teach them access. I just am me, and they get to see, right. Oh, that's what it looks like when someone's enjoying their life and asking for more. Cause I don't, and I also never feel like I've arrived. And that's another thing, is being comfortable with, are you willing to keep asking and keep going on a journey and having it be uncomfortable at times and reaching a point like, oh, this is awesome and I'm grateful, and what's next? And there's not a stopping point where you're like, oh, yay, I get to now, you know, I enjoy my life thoroughly. And that's a point of like every day, do something that you love, you know, even if it's a half hour, 15 minutes, or a full day a week too, of something that makes you happy. So you're enjoying it. It's not like, okay, what's next? I'm not going to enjoy anything now. No, I love every moment. And that gratitude is what then enables you to go, okay, and, you know, I want to keep adding because there is always more. So also being okay with not doing this reality's version of, okay, I'm going to get the perfect job or the perfect relationship, or I'll retire and then I can stop having a life. Like, you know, if that works for you, then it might. But I've found that with no endpoint and constant creation and asking, for me, is more fun, and then just making sure you enjoy it along the way.
What a beautiful gift you're giving your girls simply by, you know, what you just talked about, and the, you know, the willingness to, you know, to be you and to be the inspiration with just by simply by living your life and not, you know, preaching to them or anything else. And just, you know, you're certainly going to have a lot of challenges, as we all do along the way, and having these questions and these tools and the gift that access has been for me is absolutely life-changing. And even if I never took one more class or did one, you know, like ever did anything else, the questions and the everything that I do know and that I have learned, I will use for absolutely the rest of my life. And it's, yeah, you know, how much easier can I make my life? Because, you know, for me, for sure, the struggle and the trauma and the drama, I'm so glad to put that in my rearview mirror. So glad.
And no kidding. And one question I've been asking lately, which I think is perfect for this conversation, is what is, and literally I have this on a sticky note now on my computer and a reminder on my phone. It's what is possible for me that I think is not possible, that if I would allow that possibility, would actualize as a different reality. So
beautiful.
What is possible for you that you think is not possible, think is key here, that if you would allow that possibility, would actualize as a different reality. And, you know, I look at something with my girls. I remember the very first time I was going to Costa Rica for an Access of Certified Facilitators class. And right before I was going to go, my husband at the time broke his arm like 12 hours before I was supposed to get on the flight. And my girls were little. They were 2 and almost 5. And
I remember
my
that.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm not going. And I remember texting, you know, people I work with. It's okay, I'm not going to go. And it was a few people said, really? Are you sure? What else is possible? And because I had the conclusion, I can't get on a plane. One, I can't leave them. 2, I can't possibly get on a plane and travel internationally with 2 little girls on my own. That would be so hard. But then because of that question, I started thinking, well, I guess I could look at flights for tomorrow. Maybe they'd want to go with. And so I remember sitting down with them that little and saying, okay, would you want to come with me to Costa Rica? And you have to be really good on the flights. And, you know, you need to help mommy if we're going to do this. And they were just like, yeah, we can do that. And I was like, and that thing, something I thought was not possible. And that choice of taking them on that. So they ended up going with me. The traveling was amazingly easy. I really had thought I couldn't do something like that. That choice and the reality that got actualized from that and continued to was, I mean, later choosing to leave a marriage that really did not work for me, because I started to get, oh, wow, I could maybe be a single mom. Like, I could still travel. If this is part of my life, maybe I could take them with me places. But it was this really uncomfortable choice and someone asking me a question and getting over what I thought was not possible that started a different path where I started to see, oh, okay, this is actually lighter. It doesn't make any sense why it's lighter. You know, same with getting divorced. It was like in this reality, I had all these thoughts of, oh my God, but I can't imagine not seeing my kids every single day, or it's going to be so hard for them, or I'll traumatize them, or it'll be awful for my husband and I. And there were all things I didn't think were possible. All of us are happier now. And not saying it's been easy along the way always, but it was always lighter. it was always this energy of, God, that doesn't make sense, but I'm going to choose it. And it's actualized this reality that is so different from anything I would have imagined, but so much more matches me and the life I want to create. So that's the other thing is if you're listening and there's these questions like that one, is knowing that you really, if you don't think something's impossible, anything can show up. And when you're choosing something different, it might be uncomfortable, but awesome. If this is uncomfortable, it means I'm choosing something brand new. It means I'm actually getting out of what's my comfort zone now. So if I get uncomfortable, it's a sign to me. I'm like, yes, this is awesome.
Yes. And, you know, you always rise up to meet whatever challenge it is. And, you know, have you ever failed at anything that you really, truly desired to do?
That's a great question. So I think if all of us look at that, we could say, oh, I think I failed at things. But it's like, was that really something you desired to do? And the things you're right, if you really desired to do something, have you ever failed? You know, and, you know, every day is a new day to keep choosing for something. Sometimes we give up on things, which is different than failing. Like I'm definitely giving up on things right before they've, you know, but failing you, I think for most of us, if we really desire something, we'll create it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's like even the definition of failure, what is that, you know, and is it really a failure or is it something else? And, you know, so if you start looking from that space and asking those questions and get yourself out of any wrongness that you may have decided you are or you were or you did, then truly what else is possible? And in this whole conversation of following the energy and you're doing things and choosing things that light you up, and they may not make any sense, even to you, let alone to anybody else, right?
Yep.
And
you know, sure, let alone anyone else.
Right? It's like, oh, wow. And to be willing to do whatever that is for you, and it could change tomorrow. And it doesn't mean that anything that you've chosen or you've done up until now is a waste of time. I had that conversation with somebody just yesterday, and they're like, oh, you mean maybe I didn't waste my time? It's like, no, what if none of anything that you've done in your life is a waste of time or money? Like, oh, wait a minute. Is that a possibility?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, of course it is, right? And then when you're in that place, so if you don't make yourself wrong for anything you've done, you know, how many people do you know who've gone to college and they've changed the major once, twice, three times, you know, and then all these people are like, oh, they can't make up their mind and look at all the money they've wasted and all of these points of views that get projected at them. And what if every choice that they've made is simply a choice? And it's not a wrongness. And so when you're in that place, it's like, how much more can you create? Can you be? Can you generate? Can you actualize when you're not spending time making yourself less than, wrong than, you know, worse, awful, you know? And so when you're in that place, then truly that wonderful question of what else truly is possible.
Yeah, I love it. And when you say all that, those examples of like switching your major and all these things we do and not making ourselves wrong, one of the things we have to be willing to receive too is judgment. Because like you said, it'll seem crazy to you even when you start making some new choices. And so I saw a meme the other day on Facebook, and it was a really cool picture of a lion. And it said, a lion never loses sleep over the opinions of sheep. I was like, oh, that's so good. Because you kind of like have to see yourself if you're going to like create this life, like as a lion that's like, I know what I know, and I'm not going to be bothered by opinions and judgments of other people that aren't relevant, that aren't choosing a bigger life. Because if they're not choosing it, you can kind of see them as like the sheep are doing what they're doing, and that works for them. But if you're going to choose something different, you can't lose sleep. You can't worry about those judgments and just be like, okay, interesting point of view. For all of that, everyone has them, and I'm still going to keep creating.
It's so true, you know, and that wonderful tool, and I've talked about plenty of times on the show, is that interesting point of view. And when you are that space of everything is simply an interesting point of view, and it's not wrong and it's not bad, and even your interesting point of view, like how many times have you said to yourself, interesting point of view, I have this point of view. And interesting point of view, I have this point of view. Interesting point of view, I have this point of view about that point of view. And so when you are that energy of if there's no right and there's no wrong, then what can you create? And so following the energy of what truly lights you up. And it doesn't mean, like Emily said earlier in this conversation, it doesn't mean throwing everything away that you're doing or you're creating. But what else? What else? What else? What else? What else? And in asking that question, what opportunities might show up for you in your life? And if you're willing to follow the energy, ask questions, and say yes when nothing makes sense. Thank you, Emily, for being with me today.
Thank you, Betsy. Thank you so much. It was so fun.
It really was. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today with Emily Russell. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.